Please stand by. Welcome and thank you for joining us for today's IBM teleconference, Four Expert Tools to Advise You with DB2 for ZOS. Today's teleconference will last approximately 60 minutes and will include live questions. In this teleconference, we'll explore IBM DB2 Expert Tools and show how they can help you achieve your database goals. The speaker for today's teleconference is Jay Bruce, IBM DB2 Tools Architect and Strategist. At this time, I'd like to turn things over to Jay. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, operator, and I'd like to welcome everybody to today's teleconference on Four Expert Tools to Advise You with DB2 for ZOS. My name is Jay Bruce, and I'm the DB2 Tools Architect and Strategist. I'm paging forward in the presentation now, paging past the disclaimers page to the slide that says Four Expert Tools to Advise You on the top of it. And today I'm going to be covering OmegaMon XE for DB2 Performance Expert on ZOS, which is a full-range system and application monitor. I will also be covering DB2 Optimization Expert for ZOS, which allows you to do SQL or query performance analysis and tuning. I will be covering DB2 Recovery Expert for ZOS, which allows you to build recovery plans and gives you expert-based advice on recovery based on least cost. And finally, I'll be covering DB2 Audit Management Expert for ZOS, which allows you to do compliance auditing and regulatory auditing. Moving forward to the next slide, I'm going to start with OmegaMon, and we do tend to call this OmegaMon PE, or OmegaMon for DB2 Performance Expert. We are going to be focusing on the ZOS implementation today. Paging forward to the slide that says One Server, and this is a high-level overview of the OmegaMon offering, and it shows the ZOS footprint. It has a separate address spaces that hook into each product set, and along with the standard ISPF and VTAM screen interfaces. There is also a FAT client or Windows application, also known as Java application, that will run down and collect the information from the variety of sources, as well as run the buffer pool analysis tool to give you information on tuning your buffer pools. Paging forward, same slide, adding the reporting functions, you see that we maintain a performance warehouse as well as a full set of batch reports that you can drill into the information. Going forward again, we roll in the Tivoli Enterprise Portal. So this is a web-based portal that is Tivoli-based. It's running the Tivoli Enterprise Portal server and provides a browser-based view into the OmegaMon products. It also provides some end-to-end reporting using a DB2 Connect agent, so that you can see the total time that a transaction takes from the point where it's invoked on the client to the point where the result set is returned to the client. So very effective in drilling down and identifying where any performance problems may be occurring. Paging forward, you'll see just and future UI consolidation. As you see, we're eliminating several of the clients. We're going to consolidate the ISPF client over to the VTAM client. That is a green screen 3270 client, as well as we're going to eliminate and deprecate the Java application in favor of the browser-based. Going forward to the different types of history, and this is very important when you're doing monitoring, is having different views of historical events. Obviously, you want a real-time monitor so that you can drill into events as they occur. Alerts can be posted, notifications can be made when there's problems, and you can see suspended transactions, lock contentions, and other types of real-time events. Also very important is what we look at as the near-term history. Often we get performance problems reported a few moments after they occur. Sometimes it's maybe a minute or two. Often it's 15 or 30 minutes by the time the user calls up the help desk and the problem gets routed to the appropriate group. So So the ability to look at that near-term history is very important as well. And last but not least is the long-term history. Sometimes we see performance problems that grow over time. So somebody says, this used to run faster than it does today, and the ability to be able to drill into a transaction and see the performance history over 6 months, 12 months can be very useful in diagnosing these types of problems. Also, doing general trend reporting on the performance of your DB2 systems becomes very important in today's world of reducing costs wherever possible. Paging forward to the next slide, we have a plethora of user interfaces available for this product. I referred to them earlier in the slide. The two primary clients, as I mentioned before, the Tivoli Enterprise Portal there in the middle of the screen, and this is a full-function portal that allows you to plug in applications across the Tivoli monitoring portfolio, as well as extend with your own customization if you desire. Lots of power there and built on traditional portal services. We also have the classic interface right below that, and the classic interface is the product is the interface that was delivered with the Candle product and doesn't require ISPF. It's a native VTAM application, but provides that green screen look and feel without being tied directly to ISPF and having to bring up the overhead of TSO, et cetera. We do have an ISPF monitor, and we are deprecating that in favor of the VTAM client. And also the same is true with the PE client or the FAT client. Strategically, we see portal-based or browser-based as being preferable for performance monitoring rather than FAT client. So you have independence from your workstation and also the ability to drill into various systems that you might need access without having to configure your workstation for all of those configurations and connections. Paging forward to the next slide. One of the things that OMPE, or Omegamon Performance Expert, I told you I'd refer to it this way, has what I like to call extreme integration. As you probably know, the Omegamon stack has a very rich history of performance monitoring across different database systems and operating systems. This chart focuses on the ZOS implementations. And so you can quickly navigate through the Omegamon family in a vertical integration stack to be able to diagnose problems in CICS or IMS and drill down into DB2 or even ZOS problems so you can effectively locate where performance problems might be. Also, we have very good horizontal integration across the IBM DB2 tools family, and we can launch various drill down performance monitors, either the DB2 query monitor or branch into SQL PA, which is an ISPF explain, or even into optimization expert so that I can drill down into access path related problems. And of course, I'll be speaking more about optimization expert in a few moments. Paging forward to the summary of the functions, and this is an important chart. Again, you see in the upper left-hand corner, we have the same information I've been talking about with the user interfaces, both the VTAM and the TEP highlighted there. I have also listed the ISPF and PE clients, although those will be deprecated. We also have a rich set of batch reports because we know our customers heavily rely on these batch reports to be able to drill down and identify problems after they occur. And we report on everything from statistics accounting to ZPARMs and locking. This is one of our favorite reports. People can go in and look at how many deadlocks are occurring and resolve that through the proper physical database design. We also look at SQL activity and IO activity and into utilities audits and can look at the explain as well. We also, again, I mentioned this earlier, have this great feature called end-to-end monitoring where we can have an agent that runs in the DB2 Connect server to be able to monitor that round trip And that's a very effective diagnostic technique when somebody's complaining about a problem, but the problem may be occurring in the network side, and you have to first do that diagnosis on whether it's a networking problem or inside the engine, if you will. Of course, I mentioned the performance warehouse and performance database, and the buffer pool analysis that will make recommendations on sizing of your buffer pools based on your hit ratios and your cache access, and make expert-based recommendations along those lines. Real simplified installation here. You get one server per LPAR, and then we collect the information across all the DB2 subsystems and pipe that into a set of complementary functions to report on the near-term, short-term history and drill down into object analysis and exception processing. Paging forward to the wide variety of historical processing, and this just gives you a little bit of a view about how information flows into OMPE, Omega Mon Performance Expert. You get information through DB2 trace collection, either externalized through the SMS data or GTF. We also have a series of agents that will directly read the OP buffer and scrape that information and pipe that off into files that can then be loaded into databases or a performance warehouse. You can also then drill into that through the classic interface or through the client that will allow you to drill into that data and do your trend reporting and such. Okay, so that's all for OMPE right now. I'm going to switch over to DB2 Optimization Expert for ZOS. This tool is primarily used to drill down into SQL or query performance analysis. And let's go ahead and start that. So just give you an example of some problems, of a problem that we experienced with a customer. This is a real life situation where a customer was running along. They were satisfied with the performance, and they really didn't do a lot of tuning. So where the baseline was 3 seconds, optimal performance or not, really had not been defined, but no tuning had been done on this query. It was a dynamic query, and because of the lack of tuning and lack of statistics, at one point, we fell into an unstable access path where we were doing a nested loop join and the inner and outer tables had gotten reversed and really fell into a 5-minute query time, something we do see occasionally in DB2. And in this case, the customer did not have the right skills on site to be able to drill down into the problem, so they opened up a problem with IBM, a PMR. And we ended up sending out an expert on site to be able to drill into the problem. At that point, we had a prototype of our statistics advisor, and we ran that against the query and were able to restore that baseline performance almost immediately just by providing the correct statistics to the optimizer so that it could select the correct access path. However, the expert that we sent on site was looking at the query, and he did not understand why it should take 3 seconds. So did some additional tuning and actually added an index or two and was able to reduce the amount of time, CPU time, that it was taking to about 10 milliseconds, so an order of magnitude improvement here. And just an example of what correct statistics and physical database design can do in query performance. Paging forward to the post-mortem analysis, I know it sounds easy, but it's not. And all of you who do query tuning out there know that this is a very difficult job to do. Often customers have inadequate query tuning or physical database design. Sometimes it's a matter of that the pace of the application development just outpaces the DBA's ability to design every specific query and every table. In this case, it took 3 days just to identify what the problem query was, and they didn't know how to go. Lots of costs on your side. Obviously, when there's an application outage, this is a big cost. But costs also can be manifested by a loss of confidence in the IT team, and as well as extensive performance reviews having to be performed, postmortems, etc. And what we've come up with is generally there's a lack of expert design rules and methodology. The original query performance was actually suboptimal, and they didn't know that. Good design rules and sophisticated tools can help result in faster and more stable performance. Going to the next slide, a solution. So we break this solution down into three areas. One is being able to identify the problem query. And we want to be able to get queries from a number of sources, be able to snap queries directly out of the dynamic statement cache, as well as import queries from the catalog, or be able to interface with other products like OMPE and pass a problem query directly into Optimization Expert. We also built into DB2.9 for ZOS the ability to monitor performance exceptions. So now if you're running DB2.9 for ZOS, you can set thresholds based on CPU time or percentage of normal elapsed time and throw out an exception, and then optimization can read that from the DB2 engine and drill into that analysis. So you can do some proactive tuning along those lines. For problem query resolution, we do differentiate query resolution from workload resolution. Our concept is when we're doing a single query that you have a hot query that you need to resolve. So not only do we give you expert-based advisors so that you can drill into statistics, index, and query design, but also a series of tools to allow you to do analysis of the query. So we format the query and we annotate it with statistics. This is a very important new feature. I'll go into some detail in a few moments. We also have a series of reports as well as the traditional visual explain tool with some great enhancements in for this offering. And the ability to define your own optimizer hints. If you've ever had to do an optimizer hint before via the plan table, can be very time consuming, and this will make it much easier. Now, in tuning workloads, we see tuning workloads as more of a proactive approach rather than reactive approach. So our design advisors are a lot different for workloads. They're very much more sophisticated. Not only do they normalize our recommendations across the workloads, but they're also less aggressive and with lots of options, so you can set the level of recommendations based on your experience. These advisors are tools that can be used by most everybody. Going forward to the next page, you can see the architecture of Optimization Expert, or what we like to call OE. We have a series of tools that are available to tune queries, so you can drill down in that. And it uses information from the engine in the explain table and the profiling, which is the DB2.9 function I mentioned earlier, to be able to set exceptions for queries, as well as the statistics, obviously, from the catalog. Now, we have implemented Optimization Expert in an Eclipse framework, so it is a fat client that needs to be installed on your workstation. There are a lot of sophisticated processing that happens, so we did want to exploit the power of the workstation, as well as we wanted to reach out to the next gen of DBAs. The folks that really need this tooling and expertise are not the people who are been using 3270 for 30 years. They're the next gen of DBAs who possibly don't have the experience or the knowledge to tune these. Now they have a set of tools they can reach out to. Down at the bottom, you see tuning workloads, and we have a methodology for capturing workloads and feeding that into our statistics advisor, index advisor, and query advisor, some very powerful tools there. A number of stored procedures that will run up on the engine, as you see there, and those stored procedures are optional, as well as the admin scheduler. You can use your existing scheduler, but each one of those stored procedures are meant to solve specific problems like authorization issues or being able to disconnect your laptop while capturing workloads. I will point out the query warehouse. We do externalize our warehouse out on ZOS, so that if one person captures a workload, it can be shared to other people who don't necessarily have the authority to capture a workload. Okay, paging forward to the optimization advisors. We have four advisors here, and you can see these are recommended for all users solution. These provide English level advice, and they actually for Stats Advisor and Index Advisor. Stats Advisor produces a run stats command. When you're running this across a workload, we normalize that run stats command across the workload. So we're collecting all the stats you need and only the stats you need. You may be collecting stats that in your run stats jobs today that are never used, and you're wasting extra CPU time doing that. Index Advisor is where we have the most intellectual property in there, very sophisticated engine for recommending indexes. We all actually have an extension that we built into the DB2 for ZOS engine to allow us to propose virtual indexes. So we're actually using the real DB2 for ZOS optimizer to determine these potential candidate indexes. We do seed it with statistics, so we're able to come up with very good recommendations for new indexes, and we again generate the DDL that you can either run immediately or schedule later on. Our query advisor is meant to be a complement to the DB2 for ZOS rewrite engine. We are not a best practices advisor. We more take the approach in that rewriting a query is an option of last resort. And so we don't recommend to rewrite queries that the DB2 for ZOS optimizer will rewrite for you. So a great complementary tool for DBAs in trying to identify performance problems. Access Path Advisor. This is a query-only advisor, and I like to call it a red flag advisor, really helping you identify things to look at for those hot queries. Paging forward, SQL tuning tools, a real rich set of portfolio here. We recommend these for expert users. There's a level of expertise required to be able to understand these reports, but it's okay to deploy these to developers as well because we find the developers need to learn about these concepts. Query annotation, great tool, formats and annotates the query with statistics so that an expert DBA can identify problems on site. I mentioned the query report, VE, very similar to the product we had previously, and of course Visual Plan Hint and Service SQL that I think I mentioned Visual Plan Hint earlier, and Service SQL is a diagnostic tool for us. Okay, next we're going to be covering DB2 Recovery Expert for ZOS, and this is our recovery management offering. Paging forward to the slide that says DB2 Recovery on the top of it, and we recognize here at IBM that recovery sometimes is the most complex activities that DBA participate in. There are many different potential scenarios, from wiping out a whole series of maybe losing a DASD or wiping out a series of tables to an accidental drop of an object, many different recoveries. And most shops that we talk to, they don't really practice those scenarios all the time. There are some things that are more common that DBAs get very good at, but there are also scenarios that the DBAs don't anticipate. So often the recovery policies that we have, the backup and recovery policies we have in place, aren't robust enough to cover all of those scenarios. Because people don't practice enough, the skills aren't sharp when they are needed. So this tool guides you in that and helps automate that recovery. And obviously there's a need for an expert type of product to help the DBAs in recovery, not only the experienced DBAs in keeping their skills sharp, but especially the new DBAs who may be new in this and may be picking the wrong path or having to do trial and error to get something to work before they can come up to speed. I attended a seminar years ago, and it was on disaster recovery, and the premise that was set forward in that session was that if you don't practice your recovery scenario, you don't have a recovery scenario. And Recovery Expert allows you to compromise that rule where we can cover all of the different scenarios and pre-test them for you, validate the recovery scenarios, and make sure they work for you before you need them. Paging forward to the next slide also says DV2 recovery on the top of it. And this is just going down into a little bit more detail of what I was talking about before with the different types of recovery scenarios that you might encounter. I think the one that we used to classically think of as hardware failures, because of the legacy of the hardware failures, this is something that many experienced DBAs have a lot of experience with, because the hardware failures used to happen more frequently. With modern systems and redundant backups and automatic failover and et cetera, hardware failures are becoming more and more uncommon. So what does that mean? That means that DBAs are less and less prepared to respond to them. We also have application failures, where maybe there's a change that went into an application that you need to be able to recover from. And of course, there's always the accidentally dropped objects. Application system recovery and disaster recoveries are also key elements here. Different recovery choices. You can recover to the current. You can recover to an image copy, point in time, LRSN, or a timestamp. You can use lots of different resources. I have a picture of this on the next page. And you can also recover related objects. So paging forward to the DB2 recovery asset flow chart, you see we have, again, going into the different assets that we have in DB2 to consider. And up on the top, actually, the ICF catalog, which is not a DB2 construct but more a ZOS construct. But the idea of being able to build all of these objects so that you make sure that you have a system that you can recover, that you need all, have all the information you need. Also, being able to take advantage of the hardware as well, and, you know, whether we're doing log recovery or flash copies or incremental copies, or maybe doing undo redo based on log records, that we can handle all of these different environments and be able to handle all of these different assets and make sure that we're processing them in the most efficient way possible. Paging forward, DB2 recovery expert for ZOS. So we provide expert assistance in performing these types of recoveries. And when we have a recovery scenario, a recovery expert will analyze the requested recovery and then we'll propose a selection of possible recovery plans. We're going to select, tell you what assets are needed, and we're going to assist in building, in selecting the recovery point. So we're going to go through that, and based on cost-based algorithms, we're going to propose a series of recovery plans rated based on those costing algorithms. You can select the least cost algorithm, or if you have some hidden knowledge where you know mounting that tape might not be as easy as another option, you can pick other of the recovery plans that are proposed. Regardless, we're going to build that JCL for you so that you know, again, you have JCL that works. We also support fast replication and backup. So we fully support DB2 backup system and restore utilities, as well as all the flash copy on all the major DASD vendors or disk drive vendors, primarily IBM, EMC, and Hitachi. We are looking at native Hitachi support, and that should be rolling out in the near future. Paging forward, recovery points, specifying a recovery point. I think recovery to current is the one that most people understand the easiest. Also being able to recovery to a timestamp where you know corruption happened at a specified point in time and you want to be able to get back to that. Also this concept of quiet points. This becomes very critical here in that often you want to be able to scan the log and find a good time to restore from. And RE, a recovery expert, has this great ability to be able to scan the log and determine these points of 1 second or longer where there were no in-flight unit of work. We've had DBAs swear that they can't find these on their systems. Their systems are so busy and so highly contended. But we almost always can find quiet points on the log. So it can be a very, very powerful tool. Also, the ability to recover to RBA or a log record, serial number, LRS, in there is very important. And we provide some tools to help you convert between RBAs and LRSNs, as well as be able to identify those with the clock times as well. DB2 Recovery Expert for ZOS continued here. Providing the following benefits, you have application recovery, as I mentioned before. So this is where a problem may have been introduced in the application code or unanticipated code pass. Drop recovery becoming more and more frequent as we have more and more sophisticated tooling and DBAs are covering more and more systems. The ability to accidentally or the possibility of accidentally dropping an object becomes more and more common. Or a versioning was introduced, where a new version of some objects were introduced and there were some corruption because of those objects, so you need to roll back on a version of objects. Also dependency analysis, I haven't talked about this much, but the ability to be able to associate dependent objects. And obviously the easiest example of that is objects that have relational integrity, and we can go in and look at the catalog and determine that. And we can also have application-enforced relational integrity, as well as just application-dependent knowledge, where you know that any updates to the customer profile table maybe needs to also be accompanied with the customer account table, even though there aren't RI constraints between those two tables. And, of course, as I said, full support for the hardware and software DB2 operating system, as well as the flash copy facilities and drilling into the individual hardware devices for DASD or hard drives. Paging forward, that's all for Recovery Expert, and we'll switch over to DB2 Audit Management Expert. And this tool is primarily used for auditing compliance. And in today's world where we have a lot of regulatory focus, and some would say even more regulatory focus coming down the pipe, being able to decrease the overhead of doing auditing and be able to provide a rich set of tools to allow the auditors to effectively drill down into the data is becoming more and more critical for many enterprises or customers. Paging forward, so Audit Management Expert slide collects and correlates information from DB2 resources. So we take information from the audit trace data. We also have a SQL collector that runs on ZOS to scrape out the SQL and be able to get that information from the SQL and along a lot of drill down. And we also post-process the log so we can provide information on before and after values when there was a update to a table. We no longer need to have audit all set up, and in fact, Audit Management Expert provides superior functionality over the Audit All functionality that is built into DB2. DB2 Audits All does have some holes in it in terms of being able to stack SQL statements, and because of the Audit SQL collector, we're able to extract that information and handle all those backdoors. DB2 catalog objects can also be audited now. And so this provides a central repository for auditors to be able to drill into and into the data. It also helps remove auditing from the DBA's purview, if you will, where this information, this architecture, once it's set up, can then drill into the information, post this, all the data off into a central repository that then auditors can look at independently and drill into the information. Okay, Audit Management Expert Overview, drilling into AMI, or we like to call it AMI, SQL Select, Insert, Update, and Delete, obviously is very important. But this second bullet here, SQL Text and Host Variable Values, very important. Often it's not the fact that somebody was accessing that table, it's the specific record they were looking at. I think we all heard something in the press and over the last couple of months about one of the presidential candidates who had their records scanned, and Audit Management Expert would allow allow us to be able to detect that condition. We also provide the row count. So if an update statement is happening with an ambiguous predicate, we can see that more than one row was updated. Create, alter, and drop, very important. Grant and revoke, obviously very important. And, of course, utilities and commands, assignment or modification of auth IDs and authorization failures. Authorization failures, I think, is something we traditionally look at in audit management, but obviously taking a database offline and unloading it to a flat file is also a security exposure. So being able to look at the commands and utility access is very important. And again, down at the bottom here is providing a rich framework for the auditors to be able to drill into this data in the audit repository. Paging forward, we have an architecture chart here of AIME, kind of shows the ZOS footprint, and you can see that we actually are reading the information out of DB2. We have agents that are running on ZOS. We're reading our audit down there at the bottom, starting from the bottom up, our audit SQL collector, which reads the information directly from the DB2 subsystems about the audited objects. Moving up, we have the instrumentation facility collection and the log analysis, which is what gives us that before and after ability to look at the data before it was changed and after. So if somebody's adding $10,000 to an account that has $10 on it, that might raise a red flag or something like that. Obviously, we also have a load process where we're extracting this data out of the DB2 audited DB2 system, and we're feeding that into another DB2 subsystem so that you can set up your audit repository on a LPAR that's separated from your production systems to isolate that and provide additional security. Paging forward, our reporting facilities, we have a lot of deep dive reporting here. So the user interface reporting allows the auditors to be able to view it at a high level and then drill into the data they're concerned about. So at the top level, we have the enterprise viewed. So it's a view of all the subsystems that are currently being monitored. The auditor can filter based on auth ID and plan table and drill into this the summary tables, the data in the summary tables. If they see something they want to look into, they can start drilling into a selected subsystem, again filtering on auth ID or the plan, and identify what are the activities within that subsystem that they want to go into the third level or the detail view. The detail view provides the exact information they need on the event they were looking at. Was it a drop table? Was it looking at a row in a table that they are not supposed to, high visibility VIP type of person. So there's lots of filters here that you can choose from here and drill into it. We have everything. You can see it in a graphical perspective, or if you want to just see the raw data, you can drill into a tabular data. Lots of report filtering, very much customized to auditors and the way they think and the events they want to look at, and batch reporting so that events can be archived away and referred to historically. Paging forward, the second slide on report facilities. So the users can change, can view the change values. I think I've mentioned this a couple of times. So we're actually post-processing the DB2 log, and we're able to then detect the before and after values. And obviously, this can be a huge issue from, you know, the person who puts the fraction of pennies into their account versus gross white-collar type of crime. So this log analysis is something that can be driven directly from the audit user interface, and it allows the user to easily input the information they need, and then a report is created via a batch job, which is generated, and then that report can be seen from the reporting UI. So again, providing some independence of the auditing function from the DBAs, which really the auditor's major focus are the DBAs, or the super user, the people with high levels of user authorization. Paging forward, I just wanted to give you a little screenshot here of Audit Management Expert. This is the overview or the high-level view, and you can see we have three subsystems here and check marks on all the various criteria where no exceptions were being found, and you can see access attempts, create, alter, drop, and utility access, et cetera, et cetera. And if you go over and look it over to the upper right, you can see we have a warning on that there was a change of an audited object on subsystem, what is that, 81B. So you could then click on that information, get the drill down of the subsystem level, why is it that we posted that warning, and then again drill down further into the details of the event, generate the reports you need so that the auditors can then resolve this in whatever the business processes dictate. Moving to the next slide, back to four expert tools to advise you. So just in summary, I wanted to go through it, what the real value of these four tools are. So starting off with the Megamon for DB2 Performance Expert. And I think the key issue here is this concept of extreme integration. So integration across end-to-end with the DB2 Connect, or integration through the CICS or IMS monitor so that you can see the front end or the transaction processing as well, or integration into the ZOS monitor. So end-to-end and cross-system monitoring, very important. And, of course, this concept of immediate notification, being able to drill down into the near-term history, as well as doing long-term trending analysis, very critical for performance analysis on the ZOS platform. DB2 Optimization Expert for ZOS provides expert advice so that you can regularly perform health checks and proactively fix problems before they occur. In that example I gave you, if they had been running the statistics advisor, they would have never seen that regression. So the idea of running health checks and setting these up to run every week or two so you can fix problems before they occur, or running health checks on new applications as you deploy them to production, so you make sure that your production data is ready for that new application and can fix problems before you deploy that application to production and get that surprise. Obviously, we're also providing a number of drill-down tools so that you can quickly and effectively resolve access path-related problems for those hot queries that need that attention immediately. DB2 Recovery Expert for ZOS eliminates recovery problems before they occur. So we're validating your recovery plan and ensuring that it's going to be a good recovery plan before you have the need to use it. Very important. Also, cost-based and automated recovery plans. So we're going to look at all the different recovery options you might have, rate them based on costing factors, and once you've selected a recovery plan, then we're going to automate the generation of the job to drive that recovery plan, identify the resources you can need so that you can proactively and effectively manage that recovery. DB2 Audit Management Expert for ZOS. The key thing here is separating auditing from the DBA role. Often auditors don't understand the intricacies of the exposures of DB2 for ZOS, and we're expecting auditors to be able to have a level of expertise that rivals the DBA. Audit Management Expert allows separation from that, so the auditing is actually driven from the auditor, not from the DBA. Since DBA or other privileged users are really the target of most of our auditing, we want to have that separation. And, of course, simplified drill-down reporting that's really targeted to the auditors that allows them to get the information that they need and, again, get it quickly and effectively without having to incur a lot of additional overhead through the DBAs and other support staff. So on my last slide, I just wanted to take a moment and thank you all for your participation, and I'm going to be turning it back over to the operator here for any questions that you may have. Thank you again.
Thank you, Jay. Now we'd like to ask that you participate in a brief electronic survey. Right after the survey, we'll have live questions with our presenter. Your feedback is important to us, and we do appreciate the time you take to answer these questions. To participate, simply press the star key, followed by the number that best corresponds to your choice. Please listen to all options before making your selection. For our first question, please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's teleconference. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. Or if it was low, press star 3. Question 2, was the level of technical information presented in this teleconference at the right level, press star 1, not technical enough, press star 2, or if it was more technical than I needed to hear, press star 3. Question 3, are you currently running DB29 for ZOS yet? If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. And our last question, we hope you'd enjoyed the teleconference today. Please let us know if you're interested in receiving additional information or follow up regarding the products discussed today. If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2.
But I have never referred to OE as.
And we do thank you all for your responses. At this time, we'd like to take your questions. If you do have a question today, please press star 1 on your touchtone telephone. Once again, for questions, that is star 1. We'll pause for just a moment.
I think we're a little bit.
The only one we know.
What did she just say?
And once again, that is star 1 for questions at this time. Mr. Bruce, our first question will come from Bill Kimball.
Okay.
Mr. Kimball, your line is open. Hearing no response, move to our next question from Salva Mufa.
Hi, this is Silva. I have a question like, you know, in your DB22's product portfolio, you have a lot of other tools like DBT buffer pool analyzer. So going forward, is it going to be a separate tool, or will it get integrated to any of the experts tools you were talking about?
So I'm sorry, I missed the first part of your question. Which tool were you asking me about if it's going to maintain a separate tool, be a separate tool?
It's a DB2 Buffer Pool Analyzer.
Oh, yeah, okay. Buffer Pool Analyzer is a separate product, as well as it is, it's included as part of a Megamon Performance Expert for DB2 for ZOS. So you can either buy it separately, or you can get it within DB2 PE, and we plan to continue that packaging for the foreseeable future. Did I answer your question?
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Once again, that is star one for further questions. We'll go back to Bill Kimball.
Okay. Hi.
Hi, Bill.
Hi there. With the recovery expert, can you tell if you have dependencies between table spaces for MQTs, like a base table and an MQT, would it show dependencies there?
I have a gentleman in my office, Tom Hubbard, with me, who is a RE expert, subject matter expert, and we're looking at each other's, wondering if we know the answer to that. Do you know, Tom?
Recovery expert does group tables based on RI defined in the catalog, which I believe MQTs are defined in the catalog.
But not with RI.
Oh,
MQTs are a crate, and it's kind of a table.
We'll make a note, and we'll have to get back to you.
Hi, Bill. We'll have to get back to you. We can research this. Can you drop me an email? I think my email address is at the beginning of the presentation so that I can get your contact information. And we can follow up with you one-on-one on that.
Okay, that would be great. It's a J. Bruce.
Yes, J. Okay. Bruce. And it's letter J, letter M, Bruce at us.ibm.com.
Sure, I could do that.
Thank you very much, Bill. Okay, operator, next question.
And Mr. Bruce, there appear to be no further questions. I'll turn the conference back to you for closing remarks.
Okay, well, just wanted again to thank everybody. I will also mention that Optimization Expert version 2.1 announced last week and is now available. So if you want further information about Optimization Expert or any of the expert tools for DB2 for ZOS, please contact your IBM sales rep, or you can feel free to follow up with me individually. Again, my email address is letter J, letter M, Bruce, B-R-U-C-E, at us.ibm.com. And thank you for taking the time to listen to me today. Back to you, operator.
Thank you. That does conclude this IBM teleconference. Have a pleasant day.